Okay, so we are talking about Brachot HaShachar. We're getting more specific about the morning blessings. We are not, God forbid, trying to say that Jews are better than non-Jews, or Jewish people that are free are better than Jewish people that are indentured servants, which is something in the Torah, or that men are more valuable somehow than women. What are we really referring to? Does anybody know what we're referring to here specifically?
The mitzvot.
The mitzvot specifically. How many mitzvot are there in Judaism?
613.
Totally. Now when you say you keep 613, how many do you actually really keep?
A fraction of that, because a lot of them deal with some very old societal stuff.
Old societal stuff.
Yeah, it's like slaves. There's some slave stuff.
Right, so there is slave stuff. You just know that the concept of slavery that the Torah has is not the concept that you're thinking about right now. It's if someone can't pay off a debt, or they owe a loan to somebody, then they could work it off. That was called an Evet Ivri, and they had to work only for a certain period of time, and then they have to be freed. You have one pillow in the house, it goes to your servant, it doesn't go to you. It's not the concept of slavery that, unfortunately, we're mostly familiar with here in this country, or what we experienced in Egypt as our ancestors. What are we saying? Someone who is a free male Jew keeps theoretically 613. Not really 613, because there's all these rules and laws I can't keep. I'm not a Kohen. I'm not a Levite. There's no temple. I don't live in Israel. Only certain mitzvot can be. There's actually about 200 or so active mitzvot for the typical Jew today, about. Okay, give or take, like 30 or so. And the rest are depending on who you are, the different roles, different people in society. What we're really focusing on is the person is saying, thank God I wasn't that, because how many mitzvot are non-Jews, according to the Torah, supposed to observe?
Seven
Noachad laws of ethics and morality. And indentured servants more, women more, and then the dude. But even the dude is also not keeping certain mitzvot, let's say that pertain to the temple, even if there was a temple, if you're not a Kohen. You're basically thanking God for creating who you are, but not in general, very specifically in terms of your mitzvot. I don't want to say rationing, but in terms of your mitzvot obligations and responsibilities. You're acknowledging and you're saying, thank God, I'm embracing my reality. Right? I'm not trying to become someone else. I'm happy with who I am, mitzvot-wise. That's the goal. Now, some people get a little offended because of the language. Like, the rabbis, I guess, could have come up with different language that would have been like, thank God I get to keep those mitzvot, as opposed to, thank God I'm not that. Okay? I hear it. I don't think they were thinking about the sort of the political correctedness or the kind of like, that anyone would take an offense, because they're really specifically referring to the actual mitzvot themselves, and they wanted to make the point by saying it. Thank God I'm not that, because if I was that, I wouldn't be able to do this mitzvah, and I'm really happy I get to keep this mitzvah. It's really an expression. It's supposed to be a positive expression of the mitzvah that we're privileged to observe in our lives. Some people have said to me, well, I find them offensive. You know, I get it, and I hear it. The only reason why traditionally we try not to play with the language. Now, this language was written by people. This is not from the Bible. This is not from the Torah. So it's not like we're playing with God's language, right? But they were sages and prophets who wrote these prayers. And we believe that they were somehow tied in spiritually. And we're using their words. We talked about last week and the week before. We're using their words to kind of get access spiritually to God. So that's why we try to have a little faith that we're going to connect with the ideas they are trying to connect us with. And please don't misunderstand. The idea that they're trying to connect us with is not the superiority of men over women, or free people over indentured servants, or Jews over non-Jews. It's just a question of embracing who we are. And I think that's a very relevant issue in our world today. So that's Shelo Asani Goy. Thank God you have not made me a Gentile, Shelo Asani Oved, made me a slave. A man says Shelo Asani Isha, and a woman says Sha'asani Kirtzono. Last one on the paragraph, thank God for giving me sight. Does anybody know what activity that pertains to? When would the Jew say the bracha? Baruch atah, let's do it together. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Pokeach Ivrim. Iver is a person who's blind. Pokeach means open up. So when would this be done? When in the morning would a Jew say that? Literally the second you open your eyes for the first time. I know you're thinking you're supposed to do the Moda Ani. Okay, I don't know how they worked that out exactly. This is a long time ago. Anybody know, by the way, why the rabbis changed this? Or when in history this got changed? There was a period of time when Jews would say these blessings as they perform, as eyes went open. The next one is Malbisha Ramim, thank you for giving me clothing. So as you'd get dressed, you'd make that bracha. When you bend over for the first time, or when you stretch, you'd make another bracha. Literally, every kind of, you'd be able to express it through a blessing. It changed when the rabbis didn't feel anymore that we had that level of consciousness, and that we would, and they were a little concerned that we would take God's name in vain, and we wouldn't be spiritually purified enough, that we're just not in that mindset so much. So we try to get into the mindset by pointing out all the little things like sight that we take for granted. So even if your eyes are open for 2 hours before you say this bracha, it's still an opportunity to think about the blessing of sight. Now, God forbid, let's say somebody is blind. Should they say this blessing? So it's actually a very interesting debate. Any ideas? What do you think? Yeah, Boris?
Yeah. I think we should still say the blessing, because even though unfortunately God didn't give this person an opportunity to say, God gave this person an opportunity to hear. God gave the person an opportunity.
Okay, but you're not thanking God for hearing. I mean, it's a good point, and we actually follow that ruling because there's a debate. What are you going to say?
Because the people that are helping him can see.
Oh, that's interesting. Right, there are other people that are helping. That's interesting. So the question is, are we making these blessings because I can do these things, or because God, generally speaking, gives these gifts to people? So God forbid a person is deprived of this gift. I spoke about this. I had a very dear friend when I was in yeshiva, and in my gap year in Israel, I was 18, 19. One of my dear friends, David Keene, he was in another yeshiva, and we used to get together once a week, and he was complaining that his eyes were bothering him and starting to have a hard time reading the finer commentaries around the Talmud. We were all in yeshiva, and he couldn't read Rashi, and then Tosvos, and then pretty soon he couldn't read the Talmud itself, and he went blind. I talk about him in my book. Some of the most inspirational people, and we have kids in the same class in school now, so I see him more often. And it was an unbelievable, awful, awful experience that he went through. Ended up, by the way, finishing college, getting an MSW and rabbinic ordination. He was in school for many, many years. I used to see him in the Beis Medrash late at night listening to these, we all had Walkmans back then. He used to sit and listen to these recordings. He listened to hundreds and hundreds. He took all the rabbis, gave him his tests orally, including the MSW that he got. And he is now a chaplain. He's one of the head chaplains in New York City, in New York City hospital system. And he's like a mentor to a lot of other, he's my age, so he's like a mentor to a lot of younger chaplains that are coming into the system now. His wife and six kids. I mean, it's an unbelievable story. And I remember talking to him about this, about, are you going to say this bracha anymore? Because he lost his sight. So the we paskin according to the, that in fact we do make the bracha, hokeach ivrim, because we're acknowledging that God does this. Okay, I was, you know, and these blessings are not just about me and you, they're about the gifts, you know, to humanity in general. I mean, you can ask the same question, let's say you stay in your PJs all day. You don't go to work one day and you just chill out, or you're not feeling well and you stay in bed all day. Should you make the next blessing? Take a look on page 2 on top. Baruch atah, anyone say it with me? Left hand column, you with me? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam malbish arumim. God who clothes the naked. Right, so you put your clothing on, you make this bracha. Again, we don't do this in accordance with the activity, but would you make the blessing if you were staying in your PJs all day? Does anyone even wear PJs anymore? You're wearing your sweats and t-shirt, whatever it is.
Some of us rock onesies, why not?
Onesies, okay.
I don't rock onesies. I'm going to get a onesie now.
We can go around. We can go around. We can, maybe not. So, yeah, it's not Sanua. So, Malbisha Ramin, when you get dressed in the morning, you're thanking God you have clothing. All right, let's keep going. What about Matir Asurim? Let's do the next one. With me? Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Matir Asurim. What releases the bound? When do you make that bracha? It's called a stretch. When you stretch in the morning, you, because what happens, the rabbis teach that many people, not everyone, curl up when they go to sleep and fall asleep in like more of like a fetal position, and they're sort of like this, and then in the morning, like stretching is like an expression of like, I'm alive, I'm coming out of that little cocoon I was in all night, and therefore you make the bracha of Matir Asurim, God releases the bound. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu, keep going. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Zokev Kefufim. A kafuf is someone who's bent over. Zokef means straightening. So when you're on the bed, when you get up, you're getting up. When you straighten up, you make this bracha. The next one is interesting. When you put your feet on the ground, hang on a second. When you put your feet on the ground, you're supposed to make the next blessing. You with me? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Roka Haaretz Alamayim, who spreads the earth out upon the waters. Right, because you're putting your feet on the earth, which was at some point laid upon the waters. Question is raised, if you sleep on a plane overnight and you want to make these blessings, and you're putting your feet on the ground, not really the ground, it's the ground of the plane, but you're in the sky. Do you make the blessing? So there's a whole discussion about this. The Paskin, yes, we do. Make the bracha. What was your question?
You say the bent were called kafufs.
Kafuf.
Kafuf.
Someone is kafuf, they're bent.
They're kafufing.
They're kafufing. Thank you. Okay. The next one is a little weird. It's like a generic big one. You want to say it with me. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Sha'asa Li Kol Tzarki, who provided me with my every need. What? That's really generic. And it refers to tying your shoes. And if anyone give me a good explanation, every time I teach this, I always look for good suggestions. Why do you make the blessing of God who provides me with every need when you're tying your shoes? Nicole, what does tying your shoes have to do with God providing with my every need?
It's the little things.
Well, shoes are a big deal.
Yeah.
It's the little things. It's the little things. Also, what else? What do you think, Jordy?
It involves multiple abilities.
Oh, fine motor skills.
So, eyesight, fine motor skills.
Oh, I like that.
The ability to have shoes, to the ability to walk.
It's got a lot of things, so it provided my evidence. I also heard that it's like the last thing you put on. So it's the last thing you put on. It has nothing to do with the shoes, just that it's like the end of your getting dressed. How many of you put your shoes on as the last thing? Just curious. Most of us. There you go. It is brought down that it's the last thing. This goes back a long time. Okay. Let's keep going. Amechim mitzadei gavir, when you start taking steps. Follow me. Second last paragraph. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Amechim mitzadei gavir, who firms man's steps. And finally, that's when you start walking. You would say that bracha. And the next one, you're never going to get this. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Ozer Yisrael Bigvura, who girds Israel with strength. People would make that bracha when they put their belt on. What does belt have to do with strength? Belt and strength. You could think spiritually, you could think physically. You could just think.
Self-control.
And what does a belt have to do?
The Chabad guys wear. The Chabad guys, we
okay, so you're getting... You're separating what from what?
Yeah, animalistic from animals.
Very good. The feet are the bottom part of the body, which are attached. It's called the gartel. The truth is, we all do it. It's just a chumrah. I'll tell you in a minute. It's a nice chumrah. It's a Hasidic one. The feet, the sort of the this part of the body and down, the waist down, is really sort of connected to the ground. And it's a little much. It's a little more connected to the sort of the animal kingdom, and then the other part that reaches up to the sky. This is considered the more spiritual part. This is the more physical part. We're supposed to always have a separation between the physical and the spiritual, and we always do. You're technically not allowed to say God's name. You answered that right in your homework question. That's why Hashem's name is missing from the Moda'ani. You may not have anything around your waist when you wake up in the morning. You're supposed to be covered, but you don't have to have anything in your waist because You're not permitted to take God's name or recite a blessing unless there's some separation from the lower part of the body. But it doesn't have to be something you see. It could be your pants, or it can be what you wear under your pants. Your underpants, your boxers, whatever they are. It could be a belt. It doesn't have to be. So the Hasidim like want to show it. They want to like demonstrate, to feel it more, that there's a separation. So they, when they pray in the morning, they take something out of the talis bag and they wrap it around and put it on. Rabbi Avi has that in his family also. Rabbi Avi Heller puts on a gartel in the morning as well. A lot of, you know, so, but again, it's not, you're doing it already, technically. Okay, now that's the spiritual explanation. There's a physical one. There's a very physical one. What were belts always associated with in antiquity? Whipping?
Weapon.
No, yeah, what was that?
Power, because...
Power.
Karate or taekwondo black belt.
What did... No, not taekwondo. Interesting suggestion. Thank you. People kept their weapons in their belts. Really? Have you not seen like a Western... Right? These are our weapons today. Look at all the narishkeit we put on our belts today. Okay, so... A belt were always associated with power and strength, and that's why you're saying God who girds Israel with strength. Let's take the last. Oh, did I?
Rabbi.
I forgot the. Is there? Oh, I did. I'm sorry. Page 3. Yeah, we're almost done.
Is it ideal to learn the blessings and then say them as you're doing these actions?
No, we do. We don't do that anymore today. We just don't believe that you'll pull it off properly.
Okay.
It's
fine.
Sorry, I wanted to get personal there. I'm just kidding. I mean, I'm not just kidding. We don't have the confidence that we're on the same spiritual level that we used to, where we were really, our minds were so in sync with the spiritual world that we would be walking around saying blessings like that.
Challenge accepted.
Now, maybe we can bring those days back if we have like fellowship too. Then all, you know that men always wore tefillin all day. You go to Israel, I know maybe two people in the world who wear tefillin all day. Because in order to wear tefillin, your mind has to be focused on spiritual thoughts. It's very, very difficult to be that focused all day. Rav Nevin Sol Shlita, one of the greatest rabbis of our generation, wears tefillin all day. You'll see him actually walking around outside with tiny, tiny tefillin. And they... And tefillin were actually designed to be worn all day. We stopped wearing tefillin all day when we, I guess, descended a little spiritually. That doesn't mean we're terrible, awful people. It just means we know that we're not on that level to be able to... So when do we put tefillin on today? When we pray, because when we pray, we have a little more confidence we're going to be in that place. Okay, last two blessings. Page 3 on top. Baruch Atah, let's do it together. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Otzer Yisrael B'Tifarah. God who crowns Israel with splendor, crowns. Hint. That's it. When people would put their kippah on, or if a woman would cover her hair with a kerchief or something, that's when that blessing would be said, that God, we are crowned. Now, the reason we wear a kippah is really as a reminder that something is above us, but we're sort of crowning ourselves with splendor. And the next one, I forgot when I was in my call. I totally blanked. When was that done? No, I know, but when was that done? When did we make that next blessing? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Hanotein Layaif Koach. God who gives power to the weary, to those who are... What's that?
After your coffee.
After your coffee. I don't know. Well, you'll get the next one easily. Are you guys with me for the next one? You with me? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam. This is long. Hamavir Shina Minan B'Tzvah Me'Afapai. Okay, let's do this in English. You with me? Who would like to read it? Whose English is really solid?
Just
go for it.
It's okay.
Blessed, just go. Blessed be Hashem, our God,
who removes sleep from my eyes and slumber from my eyelids. And may it be, continue.
Keep going. Right.
And may it be your will, Hashem our God and the God of our forefathers, that you accustom us to study your Torah and to attach us to your commandments, that you do not bring us into the power of error. nor into the power of transgression and sin, nor into the power of challenge, nor into the power of scorn. Let not the evil inclination dominate us, distance us from an evil person and an evil companion. Attach us to the good inclination and to the good deeds, and compel our evil inclination to be subservient to you.
By the way, that's such a great line. This is such a powerful prayer. What does that mean, compel our evil inclination to be subservient to you? We have positive aspects to who we are. We have negative aspects. What are we asking Hashem for a little help with here in the morning? We want to direct. We don't want to just ignore or deny. We want to direct and channel every aspect of who we are towards our spiritual connection with Hashem. And how do we do that? By not repressing the evil inclination, but by somehow channeling those energies. You know, the Talmud says, what would happen if Hashem removed the evil inclination from people? Nothing would happen. Nobody would build buildings anymore. Because there's always like a little, you know, ego in building a building, putting your name on it. Nobody would have children anymore because there's always also a little physical thing aspect in terms of sexuality. You know, there's love and there's commitment, but there's also a physical aspect to it too. So we're supposed to have the evil inclination. It's part of who we are. We don't deny it. But what we're asking Hashem to do is what? To help channel it. Compel our evil inclination to be subservient to you. Keep going. Grant us.
Grant us today and every day grace, kindness, and mercy in your eyes and in the eyes of all who see us, and bestow beneficent kindness upon us. Blessed are you, Hashem, who bestows beneficent kindness upon his people Israel.
Awesome. So that is the last of the blessings. It started out by saying that God who removes sleep from my eyes. So I think when you get start doing this and get the Sandman out, that's when that bracha. That's when that bracha was typically said. But this is really a blessing that to help start our day on the right foot, asking Hashem that we should not fall prey to error or to sin, and not allow our evil inclinations to get the best of us over the course of the day, and that we should be attached to our good inclination and we should perform good deeds. It's a really, really beautiful tefillah. And this is the way I suggest, and I encourage, start your day. Do these blessings, think about them. And it's okay to do them in English if your Hebrew is rusty. I always say, try to do a little in Hebrew so you're learning, and eventually you will be able to read Hebrew better, and you'll be able to do this in Hebrew because there's no substitute for the Hebrew. But if you want to get something out of it and your Hebrew isn't there, then do this in the English. It's perfectly acceptable. It's perfectly fine. There's one other little prayer there, which I always talk about. And also, when you come to MG on Shabbos, try to come early Saturday mornings. You get to practice these. You learn them. Really, really helps get us to the next level. Let's talk about the blessings of the study of Torah. Page 4 is the last part I want to talk about tonight. If that's okay. I'm absolutely dry. I can't do it. Any questions about any of the morning blessings? Yes.
Okay, so for my personal favorite one, Shilas Ani Isha.
Okay.
Alright, so I kind of talked to Abby Stein a few years ago about that she gave a different interpretation. I'm going to share
the show. Let's hear.
Alright.
Who was this? What are you reading from?
Well, it's not from Biker. She talked about this. It's from Kanliamas Ben Kanliamas.
I'm not familiar. Okay, let's hear.
Alright, I can't read it quite as well. You know who Abby Stein is?
Should I?
She started off as a Satmar rabbi.
Oh.
She came out of transgender and now is a big activist for Jewish LGBT.
Oh, wow. No, I'm not familiar. Okay, right. But let's hear.
All right.
The male summer, yes.
And now she's
Uh-oh, he had a sex change.
Yes, sorry. Thank
right.
you for clarifying.
Right. Okay, let's... Okay. Go for it.
And where's that comfort can be found? So...
If I told you what a mentioned person is, you'd be like, wow,
is he a younger brother from my daughter?
Such a good baby.
Right, that's so nice. So nice.
Okay. Yeah. So we have all these actions in relationships and the morning blessings.
Yeah.
I'm having, why can't I learn the morning blessings by heart and do the actions with
them? I was thinking about.
Oh, you could.
People do that.
Yeah, you probably could.
Yeah.
You know, if you're like a super spiritually sensitive kind of person, you could probably pull that off.
I would like to walk in and outside.
You know?
Like what? I like to walk around the neighborhood.
Are you Daniel? Are you planning on doing that?
Well, I could take that. So we have all these actions to tax the blood. It feels like it could be more.
Let's help walk around.
I don't know, something interactive.
It is. I know. It was probably very beautiful the way people did it.